parents, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
Hey gang, it's me. And today I have two very special guests with me, one Lauren and one Julie. One of them is more special than the other. And maybe I'll tell you by the end of this podcast which one is the most special. But I think what's going to happen is, well, don't be so sure. It depends on how she does on this podcast and if she's providing enough answers to our listeners. So she may go down the tubes very quickly. We'll see. So this will be a competition for the three of us to see who could answer the most questions. So today we are talking all about twins breastfeeding. Both Julie, I, and well, not both, because that's two people. So all of us, Julie, I, and Lauren are all CLCs. We work predominantly with twin families. I sometimes have a singleton that slips in there and I don't know what to do and I feel bad. So I help them out. But for those of you that are singleton parents, meaning that you have one child, you might want to listen to another podcast today. I mean, feel free to snoop in on our universe, but we are going to talk about the double breastfeeding experience today. And specifically, we're going to talk about things that Julie did not know. So she is going to lead this conversation. And I actually don't know what she's going to talk about. So Lauren knows, and I feel that's very unfair. And I don't like that. I don't like that they have an independent relationship outside of me, and it makes me uncomfortable. So now I'm worried about this whole podcast. All right, Jewel, take it away.
You ready? Okay. So we are all certified lactation counselors, in case you were wondering what CLC meant. We each had to go through many, many months of training and testing and waiting to find out if we passed the test. And now we are all certified to help people with breastfeeding. But all of us are twin moms. So we especially understand the plight of the twin mom trying to breastfeed, especially if you're a first-time mom and you've never even breastfed before, and now you're trying to breastfeed two babies at once, which is a very unique circumstance and very challenging. So there are things that I've learned through working for Twiniversity for many years, but then once I took the lactation counseling class, I was like, oh my God. I can't believe these things that these teachers are telling me are true and that are based in science. No one ever told me when I was pregnant. And if they just had mentioned these things, it would have made my experience so much better, so much easier, so much, I would have felt so much more supported. And believe me, I took the classes. I signed up for a twins breastfeeding class at my hospital. Mm-hmm. It was a load of garbage. It was a garbage class. The nurse did not have twins. I don't even know if the nurse was a mom. I don't even know. I'm pretty sure she quit after that class because I asked 5 million questions and she really didn't know the answers to any of the questions. And I was so frustrated. And you may have heard me mention this before in previous podcasts that my husband will never never forgive me for this because he missed the concert that he wanted to go to because I forced him to go to this breastfeeding twins class because I wanted his support and I wanted him to learn all these things and he learned nothing. And so did I. So
hold on. But it's fair because then Lauren's husband missed the Super Bowl. Because she went into early labor.
Yeah.
So everybody's husband.
Like who? What was the concert you missed?
Everybody's got a story.
What was the concert you missed because
trauma
of the breastfeeding class
that we caused?
Peter Gabriel.
He's right. Well, he's right to feel that way.
He's right. He's never going to forgive me.
Well, yeah. Welcome to parenthood. When you become a parent, you're going to miss a lot of things that you want to experience and you can't.
Oh, well, I'm still missing them today.
Oh, he's now telling me he only tours once every 10 years. So now I'm
there
really.
There you go. Anxious. That's all right.
It's coming back around soon, right?
It's almost 10 years then.
Yeah, it's coming back around soon. We got a couple of years. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to start with my list. So this is the five big things that nobody warns you about breastfeeding, specifically breastfeeding twins. But some of these things also go for people who are just breastfeeding one baby. So the number one thing, these are in no particular order, but the first thing that came to mind when I was deciding what I wanted to talk about was that it's not supposed to hurt. If breastfeeding hurts, something is wrong. And it's probably the latch, but it might not be the latch. It could be a few other things, but latch is the predominant reason why it hurts. So Nat, would you like to speak?
I want to talk about why it hurts. So how about this? And so in all of our classes and every time I speak to a mom, I usually say, is your partner there? Like, who's there supporting you? Because I want you both to play this game. And so we're going to play it together too as a team. Okay. So take your tongue, put it behind your teeth, and then run your tongue towards the back of your mouth. Okay. You feel like right behind your teeth, right behind your teeth, it's very hard.
And I will throw up.
Don't throw up. And then towards the rear of your mouth, it's nice and soft and mushy. Mm-hmm. The goal is to get your nipple towards the rear portion of your mouth where it's soft and mushy. There you go. Instead of it hitting the front. If it's hitting the front, that means that the latch is poor. And that is why it's going to be painful, because a lot of people have a misconception thinking that, and I don't know if this is one of Julie's rules, because now I'm just busting out with other random things. But the goal of the baby to breastfeed is to extend your nipple. So all the baby has to do is shape your nipple. Baby is not pulling milk from you. The baby is literally doing nothing but getting it into a specific shape. And once it is, the milk will actually be expressed on its own. That's why you could breastfeed a micro tiny baby if you could get a good latch. So that's the baby's job. And if the baby isn't on your whole breast, you will not have that experience. And the best thing that I read 1,000 years ago is it is not called nipple feeding. It is called breastfeeding. So if you do not have a good latch on the breast, there is no way it will be comfortable for you. And if it's not comfortable for you, you will not be, or you, I shouldn't say you will not, you probably are not actually getting milk into that baby's mouth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you might be getting some, but you're not getting what you could be getting.
Yes.
If the latch was appropriate, if the nipple was shaped appropriately and going towards that soft palate.
Yeah.
There's so many things that can be wrong with a latch. You know, if your baby's mouth is not at least 140 degrees wide when they latch on, you're not getting an optimal latch. Mm-hmm. If your baby isn't able to really wind their head back and kind of like, as Nanette likes to say, chomp, patchouli chomp, yep, onto your nipple, they're probably not getting a good latch. Yeah. You know, you want to have an asymmetric latch where the baby really has more of the breast tissue underneath the nipple in their mouth than on top. There's so many things.
A baby could have a tongue tie or a lip tie.
Yes.
That's got to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we can't necessarily diagnose, but we could say, you may need to have that looked at, because that'll make it so the baby can't open its mouth as much or lift up its tongue properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some pediatricians can't really diagnose that. No. It's really like a pediatric dentist or in your nose and throat doctor, right? Yep. Or is it mouth? Yeah. Something
it's,
like that.
ENT. Yeah. ENT. I believe
it's either an ENT or a specialized dentist can do it as well.
Yeah.
And so why if you're that's important. Is because if they can't, if the little stringy, so if you look in the mirror, you'll see that there's a string under your tongue. And if that is too tight, that your baby can't get his little tongue past his little baby lip, which is going to create that shape of your nipple. And if there's a lip tie, so if you lift up your lip, you'll see that you have a string connecting your lip to your gum. If that's too tight, your baby can't purse their lips like around the tissue of your breast, creating the best suction. So when people are like, oh my God, your baby has a lip or a tongue tie. First of all, it is often misdiagnosed. I will say that I've had a lot of clients who came home from the hospital saying that it was a lip or tongue tie and then went bananas going to specialists and literally had nothing. And I find that certain hospitals have slightly negligent CLCs or even IBCLCs working, or even a nurse that isn't a trained person. But especially during COVID, I do want to say that I've seen this a lot more during COVID because they didn't have the staff that was usual. But if you're worried about it, it's what we always say. It is better to overreact 100% of the time than to underreact once. So if anybody mentions it to you, it is worth getting it looked at.
Yes. And I would suggest that you see a doctor who uses a laser, because it makes it so that it's cauterized. It makes less bleeding in the area. Because I've seen a lot of people who have had it where they literally take like a little sterile snip and they like sterile scissors and they cut it that way. And then it reattaches. Whereas if they use a laser, it's more likely that it'll heal properly.
Yeah. And it's no more traumatic. Yeah. Than piercing your ears.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are like, oh, baby's first operation, don't get stressed. It's less dramatic than piercing a baby's ears. So don't get too stressed about it. Good tip, Lauren. I like that.
All right. The next thing that nobody warned me, flange size matters. What's a flange? First, let's start there. Okay. So the flange are like, imagine the funnels that go on your breasts from a breast pump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So or nipple shield.
Or a nipple shield. Sure. So the pump, when you get it and it comes in the box, you open it up, and even the cheapest pump will come with these flanges. Now, more expensive pumps often come with several different sizes of flange that you can try. Now, when it comes to flange size, it doesn't have to do with how big your breasts are. It has to do with how big your nipples are. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a correct flange size, you won't get as much output as you could get. So that is something I did not know. And I'm pretty sure when I was pumping, I had the wrong flange size because I have ginormous boobs, but my nipples are pretty small. So I'm pretty sure I was using the wrong one, but no one ever told me. And I didn't know till now.
And your nipples seem to change over time as well. I've noticed that sometimes they're really big in the beginning when you're more engorged, and then they might get a little smaller in a few weeks. So you may have to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
So most breast pumps come with a standard size of 24. However, the flange can go down to 21, but it could also go up to 36.
Yes.
So if you are planning on exclusive pumping, let's say, right? And you should know that really everybody, before you get discharged from the hospital, somebody should watch you pump. So you could ask for a breast pump in the hospital, and typically they'll give you a 24 millimeter, which is what the 24 is. So it's 24 millimeters circumference or wide. I don't actually know, but it's 24. I know that the size is 24 is what it typically comes with, which is probably what your hospital will have in stock for you to breastfeed using their pumps in the hospital. You don't have to bring your pump from home. Go Lauren.
It's the diameter.
It's the diameter.
Yeah.
So basically you measure I'm reading it off of my handy dandy cheat thing that I always keep. And it's basically you measure the nipple alone. You don't include the areola, and you basically add 4 millimeters to that measurement to get your correct flange size. So if you're measuring 20 millimeters across, your flange size is 24.
Which is the average. Now, why this matters. Okay. I always like to go with the why, because I am somebody that if you tell me something, I typically dismiss it unless I know there's an actual reason for it. So why this happens, just like I said before about your tongue in your mouth with the whole shaping situation, it's just as important to have a flange that is going to pull your nipple into the appropriate shape to get you to express the most milk. So if you're dragging along the side, or if you're lost in the center and you're like, oh, my teeny tiny nipple is like not getting anything, that's something that needs to be investigated. And starting in the hospital is where it should start. If I ever stop doing Twiniversity, okay, the thing that I would do is I would start a nonprofit. It might even exist. And if you're listening to this and it exists, please call us. I want to start a nonprofit association to show parents how to use pumps in the hospital. Because often a lactation consultant is so bullseye focused on the latch of a baby and, you know, the comfort of a mom that they're not showing you how to use a pump. However, we know as twin parents, it is not always possible to have your babies to the tap 24 hours a day because it's a full-time job. So I get constantly frustrated. And I even had a mom recently that she's like, the pump isn't working. I was like, okay, let's do this together. So I've been doing all my consultations virtually, and she got the pump and she didn't have it plugged in. So it was pulling from both flanges. She only had, there was a way for her specific pump to either use as a single flange or as a double flange. Okay. So she had the double flange and she just assumed that one breast was producing nothing. Although you could clearly see that it wasn't even trying to draw her breast in.
Okay.
But, you know, postpartum parents don't always understand simple things because they're still recovering from perhaps the trauma of their delivery.
And so, they're exhausted.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be like, oh my God, didn't you see that? That's crazy. You didn't even know that was working. But I'm like, why?
No one thinks to read the pump manual before the babies come. Literally, that's the last thing I wanted to do. No. And when I actually needed to know how to use my pump, I was exhausted and distracted. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I didn't bother reading it. I just started pushing buttons.
Yeah.
And I really wish I had just taken time before. But here's the other thing. I didn't have a pump before the babies came. Okay. Now that I think about it, I rented the hospital grade pump from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then life is chaos. Yeah. When am I going to read how to work this thing? So I didn't understand that there's like a letdown phase and you push a button for that. And then once you move out of the letdown phase, you push another button. Like I just was pushing buttons. I don't even know what the hell those buttons mean. You know, one had like a drop on it. I don't even know. There was no words on it. It was all pictures. I'm like, I don't know how this works.
And every pump is different. So what you experienced is different from what somebody else might experience with their pump.
Yep. Because some pumps will have one set and then it just includes everything. And so you basically just turn it on and off and then you select a speed. Some have a suction and a speed. Some have a length of a letdown and a suction and a speed. Yep. So it's like it's a car, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could get a Hyundai out of the shop with no air conditioning and roll down windows. Do they even make those? Or I could have like a Tesla that's going to drive itself. So pumps are the same thing. And it's not always the situation where you get what you pay for. I've discovered too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the lesser expensive pumps are so simple and primal that they just get the freaking job done. Yep. So, and the best thing is, by the way, it's usually not all the time, but it's usually covered by your health insurance, your pump. But a lot of times people don't realize that the flanges and the milk bags and the breast pads can also be covered by your health insurance. And often parents just are like, oh, I got the pump. That's it. There is durable medical equipment, which is the breastfeeding bags and everything else that may be covered by your insurance. So don't just assume it's only the pump. You're going to get, I want you to get everything that's coming to you. Yeah. Everything. So yes,
everything that's not nailed down.
Amen, sister.
Truth. Okay. Number three thing that nobody warned me about: when you pump, you should pump for 15 to 20 minutes. And you should be pumping regularly. It is not about how long you pump. It's how frequently you pump. I was pumping for like 45 minutes. And no one told me that that was way too long. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, how much time I wasted that I could have been resting or doing something else or spending time with my babies. I felt like I was strapped to that pump, like I was chained to it, like it was like a ball and chain that I was like stuck. And I wish someone had just told me, just do it 15 minutes. Just do 15 minutes every 3 hours in the beginning to get your supply up. At that point, I was just pumping because the boys were not latching. And for somebody who is breastfeeding, like nursing at the breast, you know, at the beginning, you can also include pumping sessions to help increase your supply. Mm-hmm. But like, once you feel like you have a good supply, you don't have to keep pumping. That's really just to, you know, get the optimal supply that you need to feed two babies. But if things are going well, if your babies are, you know, taking milk out of you very well and they're doing great, you don't have to also pump. Because I think that's another thing is that especially twin moms, they think they have to keep pumping for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And it makes them so exhausted. So that was the thing. The length of the pumping sessions was a big surprise to me.
Well, I think a lot of moms, singleton moms included, are always worried about their supply. So they think if they pump for longer periods of time, it's just going to keep, which the stimulation does do something, but it also, you know, you don't need to do it every 3 hours or 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I always suggest if you think that you want to boost your supply a little bit, try power pumping once a day for about a week and see if it takes a few days for it to kind of kick in, but usually that helps out.
Yeah. Can we talk about power pumping for a second? Nat, can you give a brief explanation on what that is?
Yes. So first I want to talk about your point too. And I want to explain the why, right? That's going to be my job.
Do it. You're so the why guy.
Why you don't want to pump for 45 minutes is because there's only so much water in the well. You could stand there and pump all you want, but once the well is empty, it needs a minute to actually fill up. If we're going to use an actual well analogy, it has to fill up with groundwater before you even pump again. So if you just sit there and pump, it's going to do literally nothing for you. Now, I will say, if you want to tell your family that it takes 45 minutes to pump, I'm in. You could literally say Natalie Diaz at Twiniversity said that I need to pump for 45 minutes.
In a closed door, like in a room with a closed door.
Yes. A locked door.
But you're only going to have the pump to your breast for 20 minutes at best. And then you're going to use the next 25 minutes to recover. And so you're not lying to your family because you're still using it as pumping time, but recovery should be considered when you are pumping. So now to answer Jewel's question about the power pumping, what power pumping is, it's kind of like pumping on crack. So what we're going to do,
on steroids.
It's like crack. Lit. Yeah, I'm full. I'm cracked out because of my experience on the New York City subway this week. So that's on my mind. So what it is that you feed like you normally do at the normal increments that you typically would, but once a day, no more than that. And sometimes not even once a day, depending on how your supply is, you're going to power pump for 1 hour. And what that means is you are going to pump for 20. So 20 minutes pump, then 20 minutes off, then 10 minutes pump, then 10 minutes off, then 10 minutes pump. And I think I'm at an hour, right? And then I think we're over an hour. So we're over an hour, but you're going to stay within an hour. It's a 1 hour pumping extravaganza where you're going to pump that first initial pump is 20 minutes max. You're going to let your breasts rest for 10. You're going to pump again for 10. Then you're going to let your breasts rest for 10. And I think that's it. That's 40, 50, 60. Yes.
Yeah. After the first initial 20, then you take a break and you alternate every 10 minutes, basically.
And so what you're doing is that if we're going to go back to my well analogy, instead of it filling up again and then us pumping again, we're going to wait till there's only a little bit of groundwater in there and then we're going to empty it out. And so why we do this is because pumping isn't a supply and demand. So you just don't give as much milk as you want. And then the babies are like, I'll take it. It's the babies say, I need more. And so what power pumping does is it signals your breasts and your brain and your body to say, we don't have enough. Could we perhaps make a little bit more? But as Lauren said, it's not instantaneous. Sometimes it takes a day or 2 days to actually reap the rewards of one power pumping session. And if you overpump, like I did, then you run the risk of overproducing and then having to deal with mastitis. And now you have so much milk that it is literally squirting on the walls of the shower because you could feed a village.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, especially type A people think that more is better. More is not better. The right amount is what we're shooting for, unless you are feeding the village. So literally, if there was like, you know, a post-apocalyptic situation where you had 11 kids to feed, could you actually make enough milk for 11 kids? I'm going to say there might be a chance if there was 11 kids demanding milk. And did you know this? And truthfully, do you guys know this? There are some situations in certain cultures that the grandparents will actually relactate to help feed a big village.
Yeah.
Wow.
So once your breasts know what to do, and once they're like, I got this down, I'm power pumping, I'm feeding some babies, they kind of always have like a little muscle memory of like, I could do that again, which is why your first breastfeeding experience is going to be very different than your second and very different than your third, et cetera, et cetera. Because your body kind of is like, hey, I've been here before. I know the drill. So that's in a nutshell why you would power pump, but what the theory is behind it.
Okay.
Or the science. It's not a theory.
Okay. All right. Next, number four, things that nobody told me about breastfeeding twins. Tandem breastfeeding, which is two babies breastfeeding on you at the same time, is not something that typically naturally happens right away. I went into my first week with my twins, assuming that they would be able to both latch and tandem breastfeed within the first week. And if they weren't, there was something wrong with me. And it took me many years of working at Twiniversity to realize, and from hearing from so many people and learning in this class, that that's normal for them to not be able to tandem feed for several reasons. But overall, you know, I've found that the average is about after a month or so, or maybe even, you know, 6-8 weeks before tandem feeding really happens. And it really depends on the babies. But it also factors in if you have preemies. Other factors could be, you know, like how much time you're able to devote to it. But truly getting each baby good at breastfeeding first leads to successful tandem breastfeeding down the line. And I felt like a failure because one baby was latching half the time. The other baby wasn't latching at all. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? And they did latch me in the hospital, but it wasn't really. It was like the nurses pretty much like shoved the baby's faces onto my boobs and we got a picture. And sometimes I come across those pictures and I'm like, oh my God, that was crazy because my boobs are giant and their heads are so tiny. But I feel like so many new moms are like get so upset over this and they assume tandem breastfeeding is the norm when it's really, I feel like the exception and also a goal. It's more of like a long-term goal. It shouldn't be assumed it's going to happen in the first few weeks.
I agree. It's definitely a goal and it's something that needs to be learned by the mom and the babies. So sometimes moms just really can't even handle it, even though it's so much more time consuming to do one at a time. Sometimes they have a better outcome if they do one at a time, like one right after the other. So it's not really, it's the goal because time is, you know, every minute counts in your day when you have those little babies. But if you have to do one at a time, even just at first, it's okay.
And I will say that the thing that I think is magnificent about the three of us, when you work with a CLC, a good CLC assesses the entire situation. And if I am helping a new family, and I always say the very first thing that I say is, what's our goal? What's our goal here? Is our goal to tandem? Is our goal to breastfeed for 2 seconds? Is our goal to get a really good Instagram picture? What is our, I'm cool with it all. I have literally no judgment. Is our goal to formula feed full time? What are we doing? Just tell me what our goal is because I need to know where we're going with this. And so if somebody does say my goal is to tandem and I would say, okay, here's how we're going to get there. But you do have to assess the whole thing because I'm going to say even like a C-section comes into play. If it was a bad C-section and she's in a lot of pain and she has a specific type of pillow that she can't use and can't literally get a good comfortable position with two, it's not going to happen. And so what will happen is if you push it as a new mom, or if I push it as a CLC with you, I'm actually going to ruin your entire breastfeeding experience. And you're going to somehow see yourself as a failure when truthfully the failure is on me because it's my job to see if you're ready for whatever that next step is. But ideally, and I remember that Lauren and I both have a client, Ashley. And I remember when she was in the hospital, like, I remember I walked in and she's like, really, she wants to tandem feed. I'm like, girl, calm down. And so her husband was there. So Troy was sitting there at the beautiful window with a stunning Manhattan water view behind them. And I said to him, I'm like, take off your shirt.
Yep.
And I made him get naked, and he didn't have to take off his pants, but he did. He didn't actually. and I gave him a baby. I was like, you have some skin to skin time with this one kid. Let's work on, you know, baby A. So, and I say, which one you want, or which one didn't you spend time with yet, Troy? Mm-hmm. And then I said, take that baby. And then I'm like, okay, Ashley, let's work on this. Here's what we're looking for. Let's find a position that's comfortable. So let's forget about this. And so as she's breastfeeding, and she did really good, but she's unbelievably disciplined, more so than anybody else I've ever worked with. So she said, this is just like dancing. And she's like, and I said, totally. So now she is a ballerina, as is her husband. And I said, it totally is. And she's like, yeah, she's like, you have to get to know your partner. You can't go into this and expect there to be this amazing ensemble cast without everybody learning their individual roles. And that is what tandem feeding is, because if you just think that everybody's going to pop out old school and shimmy on up to your boobs and be like, pachewy chomp, can it happen? I will say that will happen once in 200 times.
It's a learned thing. It's not as natural. I mean, it's supposed to be all this natural thing, but it really is more of a learned skill for the babies and for mom.
It 1,000,000% is, and it is a very, very, very sad, sad misconception that you're just going to hatch your babies. And I was a huge, this played such a big role. And you know, I know you girls know, but it had such a detrimental effect on my breastfeeding experience because I couldn't get them to latch. And I really just thought that it was going to be some organic process. Mm-hmm. And I wanted like a very organic delivery and organic experience. And you know, I'm not very crunchy, but this was just something that I've always dreamed about. And so I did end up delivering early and my babies were in the NICU, but they were like, you could still do it. And now everybody's telling me breast milk is deemed medically necessary. So they're like pressuring me to pump and pressuring me to feed. And I'm like, like, what am I going to do? And when I tried to put them to breast, it did not feel good. It was the opposite of enjoyable. It was tremendously horrendous, but there was no one there saying, are you ready for this? You know, what do we want to do here? I know we need your breast milk. Okay. We do. We need your breast milk, Nat. What's the best way that you think we could do this? Let me give you some options. And well, that's what a good CLC does.
I think that a lot of new moms don't get the right support, whether it be breastfeeding or whatever it is, they don't get that support, but they're expected to uphold these great standards where they have to breastfeed and they have to get it all right the first time. So there's a lot of pressure on these new moms.
Yeah. It breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why I really try to focus. What's our goal? Here are your options. What would you like to do first?
Yes.
Because it's not my breastfeeding experience. And all of us know as CLCs, we don't want you to have our experience. We want you to have your experience. Yep. When you're looking back on this and writing your life story, are you going to say that you felt fulfilled by what you wanted? That's what a goal of a CLC is, to coach you, and not even coach, it's to support you and throw in some helpful tips.
Yeah.
And be
and
like,
give you the options. Give you the options. I've walked in and worked with moms who were like, I walked in and when I was there, at first they were kind of like, I just want to breastfeed. But by the time I left, they really just wanted to be exclusive pumpers. Yep. And they didn't know they were allowed to be exclusive pumpers.
That was your latest client.
Yeah.
And I walked in, I was like, yeah, let's breastfeed. And then by the end of the time, I was like, why are we breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Why are we even doing this? This is not what anybody wants. There's no right here. The right is what's right for you. So Julie, Lauren, and I are what would be considered WHO code violators. And I love saying this because there are some lactation consultants in the universe that will only tell you about breastfeeding. They will not discuss formula. So the World Health Organization says that breast is best, and that's period, hard stop. And so there's lactation consultants that take that as gospel and never assess the situation of the family. And so with a twin family, if you find yourself a lactation consultant that is, you know, a preacher of the WHO code, you might really feel like a failure when they left mm-hmm. because you're like, I can't do this. It's just too much. So it's, there's a lot that goes into that, but Tandem is not, I mean, going back to the original story, it's, if you want to try it, I'm in, but mm-hmm. it's not something that should be expected to happen.
All right. Number five, I feel like this is a good segue because this directly connects to what you were just talking about. When you're breastfeeding twins, it is not all or nothing. I was really under the assumption that either I was going to breastfeed my twins or I wasn't. I thought it was either breastfeeding or formula. It never occurred to me that like, oh, this guy actually is kind of getting good at breastfeeding. So maybe he could be the one that I nurse. And then this guy's having some swallowing problems. So he could just be the formula guy or getting my pumped milk. And then I can do a combination of things. You don't have to do the same exact thing for your two babies. You follow what works best for each baby. Now, here's the other thing, though. If it's too much and you're miserable, you can just stop.
Yep.
You could just do formula, or you could do all pumping. And there's no one right way. So it's what works best for you and your family and your babies. And it's very often a combination of many things. We call this hybrid feeding. And hybrid feeding was nowhere on my radar when I was breastfeeding and pumping. And I just basically hit a wall and was like, this is too much. We're done, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And that was what was right for me at the moment. But if I had had somebody there to say, well, what about this? Why don't we try this combination? Okay, maybe that's not working. Now let's try that combination. If I had had somebody there to like really give me flexible options for how to feed both babies in their own way, I feel like I would have had a more satisfying experience.
Yeah.
Amen. When Anna stopped breastfeeding, so she had to switch to like a medical grade formula, I stopped pumping. Because then it wasn't that I didn't know that I couldn't do both. It's that I had an overwhelming sense of guilt that one was getting, you know, nature's perfect food.
Oh,
and the other one was getting McDonald's.
So you wanted it to be fair.
I did it to be fair, or at least now in hindsight, I think I did it to be fair. But it was such a burden to pump like that, and to pump like there was no, I hated it. I literally hated it.
Yeah.
And it was the freaking worst.
Yeah. It's not,
Lauren, you were early too. Like when did they make you like, they didn't make you pump?
No.
They were really like on me.
No. The hospital I was at was definitely not like baby friendly or anything. So it wasn't the best hospital. I think if I was at a different hospital and maybe if my husband was more supportive of it, because he was just like, oh, I don't want to know anything about, you know, birth or breastfeeding. Or I think if I had more support from the get-go, it would have been different.
Unfortunately, because a lot of us don't live near family, you know, once upon a time we had a village. And your village, your mom would say, okay, we're going to, you know, this is how I breastfed. And this is the way your grandmother showed me, you know, breastfeeding is a very timeless sport. There is nothing different about breastfeeding in 2021 than there was in 21. It's the same process. Yes. We could tell you, oh, now we know the biology behind it. And now, you know, we could talk about, you know, oxytocin until the cows come home. So we could tell you the science behind it, but there literally is nothing different, even hormonally, scientifically, nothing has changed since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And we you used to have somebody that would be like, okay, Lauren, you know, you got this. All right, Jewel, you know what? You don't have to breastfeed full time. Let's just give, you know, Desi a bottle and, you know, Alec, just go with Mike. Like that's the way it was, but we didn't have that. And you know, what's weird, it stopped a few generations ago. Yeah. It wasn't even like, it doesn't exist now. In the 70s, it was like, breastfeeding was what? Let's go formula. Formula was the way to go. And that's when there was all this crap that went down with Nestle and like all this jam. Yep. Like if you Google it, it was weird because there was like a real marketing campaign about formula was best. And parents always want to do what's best for their kids. So there was this hard stop a few generations ago, or even one or two, depending on how old you are that you're listening, that there just was this weird shift in, you know, the role of breastfeeding and the importance of breastfeeding and, you know, the support that goes around it. So there, you know, now we're kind of going back to basics. And I don't know, I feel like the pandemic definitely brought a lot of our primal instincts back. And we're like, okay, we gotta support each other and we gotta unite and we gotta figure out how we're gonna make this work. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's what we try to do every day here at Twiniversity. Every day. I mean, these girls could tell you every day I wake up, sometimes way too early. And I think about how am I going to find you? And how am I going to have you have a better experience? And I literally mean you, the person who's listening right now, insert your name here. But every day I wake up and say, how do we give her this better experience? And so I can't be there with you. And I can't be next to you and I can't be in the delivery room with you, but I hope that our podcast, our classes, our content, our social, I hope that that comes with you to the delivery room and that comes with you in that early experience. And you say, that's my village, because we are, that's what we do. And I have chills and I'm like getting teary because I know that Julie and Lauren know more than anybody else, but I am worried about you. And I don't know why. My therapist says I have boundary issues is what she says, is that I have none, but I do. I'm worried about you and I don't know you. So just know you have support here and we're always here. And if you don't have a mom and you don't have a grandmother, or if you hate your mom, we don't care. You don't have to call her over this.
Yeah. Or if you love your mom and she just doesn't know.
Yeah, because
I mean, that was me, because my mom was so supportive, but she only breastfed me for 3 weeks and she stopped after 3 weeks because everybody told her it was what you do.
Yeah.
And so she gave me formula because in 1979, that's just what you did in her family. She didn't come from a breastfeeding family. I think, I don't even know what her mother did. Yeah, but like you said, Nat, it's like the 70s really screwed
everybody up. Yeah.
In general. But, you know, I feel like it's becoming more commonplace for breastfeeding to be the first thing that you try and then having formula as the backup if it doesn't work out. And I just want to make sure that, you know, if you're listening and you're pregnant, or if you're listening and you have newborns and you're trying to figure all this out and you're freaking out, I just want you to know that my twins started having formula from 4 weeks old and they're doing great. They're nine.
Yep.
They're doing fabulous. And I always use this metaphor of when you see them running around in the playground with all of their friends, you can't tell which ones were breastfed and which ones were formula fed. You know, this is a temporary problem. It is something that you hyper-focus on in the first year of their life, and then it's over.
Yep.
Then you're on to food after their first birthday. I mean, you might still breastfeed if breastfeeding is going well, but it's really truly a first year problem. Mm-hmm. And then once they start growing, it kind of just disappears. So, you know, if you are really struggling right now, I just want you to know that this is only for now.
Yeah, it's temporary.
Oh, guys, it's a lot. All right,
they
have to go.
It's a lot.
We've talked to them. It's way too long. They have to go do things.
We should do this more.
Yeah, we should.
I have like 10 other topics I've already thought of.
Okay, well, we are going to do this more. So let me tell you some good news, guys. So for those of you that are listening, if you enjoyed our breastfeeding chat, what Lauren and Julie don't know that they've just committed to is that we're going to make a mini breastfeeding twins podcast. See, surprise for Lauren. You don't want to tell me questions. I don't tell you how you're going to just be with me for hours now. So we're going to make a mini season of we're going to label it something different so it's easier to find for those of you that aren't searching for Twiniversity, that are just searching for breastfeeding information. But don't forget that we really do. We have a lot of breastfeeding support at Twiniversity. We are all available for you to hire as lactation consultants. And to be very honest with you, even if you don't hire us, if you have questions, you could just send them to community@twiniversity.com. And the great news is that we also have a monthly meeting. So every single month without fail, we have a monthly meeting that meets virtually, and when you join our memberships, which is twiniversity.com/memberships, you'll get the update on if there's a topic. But I will tell you, the people who run these meetings are the two chicks we were just talking to. Woo-hoo. So both CLCs, both ready to answer your questions, both unbelievable twin moms in so many ways that could talk about topics that the sky's the limit with these two. So if you do need support, we're here. And for more information, just go to twiniversity.com. You're going to see little buttons at the top. Click the classes button for our breastfeeding class, memberships, like I said. So anything else I'm leaving out, kids?
Yes. If you really liked this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes, on the podcast app for Apple or Google or wherever the hell you download this thing. No one's writing us reviews. And I know that some people like this podcast because you're telling us in email, but no one's actually doing the reviews. And we have a couple of weird reviews that I'm like, oh, I hope this isn't what everybody feels about the podcast. So if you truly love the podcast, if you enjoy this, please put the review on your app where you listen to the podcast. Okay. Don't just send us emails. We love getting emails. We love hearing how much you love it, but we need to let other people know. And it also helps our podcast to rank in the podcast store so that other moms and dads of twins can find us. Because if we don't get good reviews, Apple pushes us down in the list. And so we really need your help. So please, 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 you could talk about this podcast or any others. If you have suggestions for how we can make the podcast better, we would love to hear them. community@twiniversity.com. Please let us know. We love hearing feedback. In the app, don't forget to check us out on the App Store, the Twiniversity app for expecting twins and for raising your twins through the first year.
Yep. And we do have a twins breastfeeding tracker that is in there. So if you are breastfeeding or you're pumping exclusively, there's a twins daily log and a twins tracker that you could pump every feeding session, how much milk you got, who got it, whether they peeped or pooed, if they took their medicine, if there was a doctor's visit, everything is in there for you. We've really dedicated way more time than we probably should have on that app. And we hope that you enjoy every little piece of it. So guys, for now, thank you for now and always for supporting us, and just know that we will forever support you. So for more information, head on over to twiniversity.com. Drop us a comment on any social platform. We're just at Twiniversity. Or don't forget, you could find us at, you could email us at community@twiniversity. All right, kids. I love you guys. See you later, alligators. Let's talk about breastfeeding for a second. If you are trying to breastfeed your duo, or perhaps you're expecting and you're a little concerned about how you are going to breastfeed your duo, fear not, my cats and kittens, because we have something just for you. Twiniversity has the only online inclusive breastfeeding class created exclusively for parents of multiples. Yep, that's right. We have partnered with Judy T. Bloom Mishkin, who is one of the premier twin IBCLCs in the country, and we're so fortunate to have worked with her on this project. So head on over to twiniversity.com/classes, and we will walk you through dozens of modules that have to do with just breastfeeding your duo, from items that you need, from positions that you could use, from scheduling, from pumping, from going back to work. Literally, there's a ton of stuff that is literally there for you, the parent of multiples that wants to breastfeed that just doesn't know if this is possible. Don't get overwhelmed. Get informed. We'll see you online at twiniversity.com/classes.